Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey.
Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
Hey, hey,
hey. Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
It is a victorious Bills Football Monday. Brought to you by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you. You want to talk about the game? Great. 803-0550 to join us. Phone lines open. What are your takeaways from the win over WFT? You can join us on that. We've talked a little bit about the division and the conference, too, with Kansas City dropping to 1-2. Sal is on the Western Hotline. He'll be here for the Extra Point Show coming up at 10 o'clock this morning. You can read his Arrow Up, Arrow Down column at WGR550.com as well. He is brought to us by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it is the best place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Happy Football Monday, Mr. Capaccio. How are you this morning?
Good. It's always a good Football Monday to be able to talk about a game like that, right?
Yeah, and you know what's a good Football Monday? When Sunday is a very stress-free Bills football day, too. Huh. It was pretty easy.
I even enjoyed the little bit of second quarter stress because that's it's the kind of thing that happens where you think, well, all right, I'm going to get to the offense, keep pushing. And, you know, that's fun to watch. So those 14 points, I was kind of happy to see those a little bit.
You know, when Howard said that, I was just going to say that, Jeremy, that, like, There was stress for about 15 minutes, right? Total time, maybe about 7-8 minutes game time. But look, those were the only two plays Washington had the whole game. They did have a good play a little bit later in the fourth quarter. The game was basically out of reach at that point. Terry McLaurin had the nice catch and run and a missed tackle down the sidelines. But honestly, they had two plays the whole game. One was the 73-yard catch and run, and the other was the ensuing kickoff that the Bills botched. That was it. Mm-hmm. Other than those two plays, the Buffalo Bills completely dominated Washington. It was a pure, like, just start to finish win in all phases of the game. And yes, they had made it one. You know, they had that error on special teams, but really all phases of the game.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, even when they made it 21-14, Sal, there was no indication Washington was stopping the Bills' offense. So I wasn't really worried, even though it was now all of a sudden. It went from, 21-0, 3 minutes later, it's 21-14. But they just didn't look like they were equipped to stop the offense, and Allen was in such a rhythm yesterday.
100%. I heard you talking about this a little while ago. I wrote about it. Brian Daboll's game plan was terrific. It really was. He did a great job of getting Allen into a rhythm, getting the ball out of his hands quickly, and by doing that, completely negated the pass rush. They kept him clean all game, did not allow a sack. They allowed one sack against Miami, and that was really kind of when Josh was kind of extending the play a little bit. So really, 2 weeks in a row, in the pocket, keeping him completely clean after what happened in Pittsburgh week one. I thought Brian Daboll was dialed in on A, personnel usage, and exactly your great plan on how to do that, and B, just run pass balance, and when he threw, you know, what he did. And Josh was awesome. And here's, guys, I mean, field level, you know, I know you can see a lot that happens, like, on the broadcast if you're at the game. I will tell everybody, there was a noticeable difference in the way the ball came out of Josh Allen's hands on Sunday for me. And I don't know what was going on the first 2 weeks, if there was something that might have been bothering him, or he was just babying it and trying to be perfect. That's more of my guess. But I am telling you, from the first 3rd and 15 to Gabriel Davis, when he rifled that ball, that was an absolute laser.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the day, the ball was just coming out with velocity, decisiveness. He knew exactly where he wanted to go. That was the Josh Allen that we had been accustomed to seeing over the last year.
Agreed. Yeah, he was zipping passes, and it was really. Yes. But I think the point about Dable, I don't think, you know, I was thinking back after the game in Miami, Sal, Allen, when he was talking to the media, they asked him about that first touchdown drive coming out of halftime in the third quarter, and he talked about how, well, you know, Dable drew up some plays that were comfortable for the receivers. And I thought yesterday he basically made the game comfortable for his quarterback. He made it high percentage, easy throws, build some confidence early, right from the very, I mean, they missed the first pass to Singletary, maybe a little too much mustard on it. And then right after that, it's Josh is completing passes. They're moving the ball. He's feeling good. The receivers are feeling good. They're short to intermediate throws. And I can't say enough. Plus, if you were worried about Washington's front four, you really did a good job of negating the pass rush by a lot of quick releases and just not giving Washington time to get to Allen. And if they did get through, well, then he would just climb the pocket or move left or move right, and he would make plays.
Yeah, and what's funny is, you know, going into the game, I was one who said, look how well other quarterbacks have run against Washington. They didn't even do that. He had one really wrong run for a touchdown, even when Josh scrambled. There were several times where on the field I said, oh, my God, Josh, he has 10 yards of real estate in front of him. And then he threw the ball, and he completed it. One Zach Moss for a touchdown. I thought Josh could have ran it. Nope. He decided to throw the ball.
Yeah.
There were a couple other times that happened during the game. He manipulated, you know, what he needed to do to be able to work himself free to be able to throw the ball. And look, the offensive line at times, like, yep, Josh had to move around a little bit. I gave an arrow up to Darrell Williams, mostly one-on-one with Chase Young. I thought he had a really good game. Early on in the game, Cody Ford struggled. Daron Payne's really good, though. Let's remember, those guys are good, too. But he struggled a little bit. I thought he came around and played better as the game went on. You know, the offensive line did a good job. Your point about Dable is really right, though. And, you know, obviously our thoughts are with Brian Dable after we found out yesterday after the game. Josh said that Dable lost his grandma during the week. And it was there were heavy hearts in the building. And he said, you know, I went through that last year. Josh said, when he went through that with his grandmother and how much he leaned on Dable. And he said how much he loves him. And, you know, the roles were reversed this week. And the entire offense really wanted to put together a special performance for him for what he was going through throughout the week.
How about the work with the chemistry, I guess, with Allen and Sanders yesterday? There had been, you know, we're talking about the first two games, and there were some plays they left on the field, and they were still trying to work on some of the chemistry together. And yesterday, a very good day for Emmanuel Sanders, a really beautiful diving touchdown catch and a perfectly thrown ball on the 41-yard pass from Allen to Sanders. The two of them were very effective yesterday.
That's why people should listen to the Extra Point Show on Thursdays when Sneaky Joe gives his fantasy plays. He said, play Emmanuel Sanders this week, everybody. I'm telling you, he did, and he said, and he made a great point. He said, if you look at the in-depth numbers of air yards attempted, Sanders was amongst the top in the league. Like, they were trying to get the ball to him. They've been really looking for that to hit, and it just hasn't. And he came into the game with under a 50% catch rate as far as balls he caught that were targeted to him. That was not the case yesterday. I think he wound up with six targets, five catches, but at one point he was 4 for 4. He was 5 of 6 overall, 94 yards. A great catch on that deep ball. I didn't think he was going to get to that. You know, his length really helped him there, his outstretched arms. And then, of course, the two touchdowns. One, he just made a fantastic grab to go down low. And the other one, let me go to that play. Really sneaky play here for the second touchdown, guys, to Emmanuel Sanders. So I think it was Zach Moss who was the running back. But if anybody gets a chance, why don't you go back and watch that play, because Moss leaks out from the backfield, and Josh had him. I mean, all he had to do was throw it to him, check it down to him, let Zach Moss maybe get into the end zone. He might have had one man to beat. It's coming right at me. Josh looked at him, like, that's his read, and he went off him and said, nope, I'm throwing to that guy for a touchdown.
Yeah.
And I'm going to extend the play and wait for him to come up. He waited the extra second for it, because Sanders wasn't open immediately. And I turned to the guy, the guy next to me, one of the guys, the flag runners, and I said, for years and years, we've had quarterbacks here who would never have done that. They would have said, oh, there it is. There's a check down. It's good. He's open. Not a big deal. Josh Allen did not do that. He looked at him. And then he shook him off like a pitcher and looked to the back of the end zone and waited an extra half second for Emmanuel Sanders to come free for the touchdown. And Sanders did a great job to extend the play. Yeah, their chemistry is really building right now.
Yeah, and you mentioned, you know, the velocity of the ball coming out of Josh's hand. That was a fastball to Sanders. I mean, he zipped the ball right to him in the back of the end zone. What else can we say about Cole Beasley? I mean, Cole Beasley did yesterday what Cole Beasley has done since he got here. He's so difficult to cover in man. He's almost unstoppable if you're going to try a zone defense because he's able to find a spot, stop, turn, and boom, Josh is able to find him. I mean, 13 targets, 11 catches, and one of those two incomplete passes, I'm pretty sure he was held.
I don't mean to sound like a cliche here, but he's just a really good football player.
Yeah.
That's what he is. Cole Beasley's a really good football player. He understands football. He understands space. He catches the ball. He's tough as heck. You know, when he catches the ball, he knows exactly where the sticks are. You know, he'll dive for the first down. He'll try to get it however he can. He's smart. He's really smart, but just a really good football player, you know. And when the Bills signed him a couple of years ago, he was part of that group that really helped elevate Josh from year one to year two. And then, of course, he had a career year last year and a slow start this year, but he hasn't been getting all the targets. Yesterday, he was a PPR machine yesterday, right? I mean, 11 catches, 98 yards. You know, he only averaged 8.9 yards a carry, but you don't expect. I mean, he's the guy working underneath. This is what you saw yesterday was how the offense is supposed to work, right? I mean, this is how it's supposed to go. You got Sanders, Diggs, of course, and Diggs still had 6 for 62. He was kind of quiet, still 6 for 62. And then you sprinkle in Beasley and Knox doing their thing underneath. I mean, that's when the machine is completely moving. By the way, on Josh Allen, he went yesterday. I look back, going into the game, he was at 56% completion percentage on the season. He's now up to 62. It doesn't seem like a significant jump. That's a pretty significant jump after one game. But, you know, I think he's on the right track at least to be back into the mid to high 60s. Let's hope, you know, over the next few games after that slow start in completion percentage. The guy threw over 40 times. He was 74%.
Sal with us on our Western Hotline, 803-0550 to join us. Jeremy was talking about Moss a little bit in the first hour. And I wanted to ask you, going back to training camp, when you were talking about running back, not by committee, but by game plan. And Singletary had a couple good games. Moss he had more snaps than Singletary and was more effective yesterday. 16 touches for 91 yards and a touchdown. What'd you see from Zach Moss yesterday?
Yeah, he ran hard. Really liked the way he ran. What I liked mostly about Zach Moss yesterday, he was the closer. You know, he came in and he kind of put the nail in the coffin, especially in the third quarter. They really needed a couple drives. They got one. They came out of halftime. The Bills had a great drive out of halftime. It went 98 yards, 17 plays, 98 yards over 8 minutes. Zach Moss was a part of that. Josh did a good job. But Zach overall, I think in the second half, 35 of his 60 yards in the second half. He didn't have like these amazing numbers, but he averaged 4.6 yards a carry. And what I thought was on critical downs, critical plays, if he didn't get the first down, he gave them a really good opportunity to get the first down. So, yeah, and then Singletary, you know, I don't know. I gave him a narrow down like individually only because the numbers weren't there. I don't think he was horrible, but he just wasn't the right runner for yesterday. You know, that might change. And again, game plan, week to week. I think yesterday wasn't as much about game plan as it was hot hand. I think that, you know, going into the game, it looked like they wanted to get Devin Singletary going. But that defensive front is tough. And Zach Moss provided a little bit more of a push, and he was running hard. And I would say do not underestimate Zach Moss's second half in Miami about what that's done for him and his confidence, the way he ran yesterday. I think he kind of built off what he did in Miami last week.
And I also want to ask you about Dawson Knox because, you know, again, he's not going to have eye-popping numbers because this team will throw more to the wide receivers. But when asked to do something in the first three games, that was a great catch yesterday on that touchdown. A really great job by him, and he's off to a really good start, consistently catching the ball.
And what about the throw, too, right?
I mean, yeah, right where it needed to be. I mean, the play was beautiful.
You know, and this is going to happen, and I've said this for a couple of weeks now, that Dawson Knox could make every catch like that. He can make all the hard catches all year, and then we're going to be sitting here in week 9, he drops one that he should catch, maybe a big third down, and you're going to get a lot of people upset that, oh, my God, and the narratives, well, the talking point's going to come out that he's so inconsistent. Look, I mean, he's not right now. He is catching the ball. He's catching everything thrown his way. And he's making tough catches. He's always kind of made tough catches. It's really been more of the routine ones that he's had trouble with sometimes. And he's, you know, looked to run sometimes before he secured it. But he's catching everything. He's doing a great job. I think this team has been searching for a consistent tight end target to really be able to, you know, threaten the defense in a number of ways. And I think that's what Dawson Knox is emerging as and becoming here in year three. And now we're seeing, at least through three games, the consistency of the hands when he's being targeted. Yep. So, yeah, that's a really big deal if that can continue for them.
I'll extend it past three games, Sal. Joe Marino of the Draft Network and Locked On podcast, Locked On Bills, he had these numbers on Knox. Over the last 12 games, 7 touchdowns, a reception percentage of 74%, and Josh Allen's passer rating when targeting Knox in the last 12 games is 133, and the drop rate is 4%. So it's 12 games. You know, it's more than just the three.
That's right.
The second half of last season and playoffs and three games that Knox has seemed to, you know, find a little bit more of that consistency we're talking about.
I'm looking at the game by game just for this year, and that's a great point by Joe. You know, going back all the way to last year, looking at this year, first game, 4 targets, 4 catches. Second game, 3 targets, 2 catches. Yesterday, 5 targets, 4 catches. So he has, 10 catches on 12 targets this year. So that's really good, obviously. And give Josh Allen credit, give Brian Daboll credit, but give Dawson Knox a lot of credit for all that work he did in the offseason. But, yeah, going back to last year, I think because he had some drops earlier in his career, you're always going to remember that.
Yep.
But he has been very good going back to the second half of last year.
It's probably true of a lot of receivers around the league. If once you get a reputation that you have a couple of drops, people will remember that, even if it's not true. I mean, Jamar Chase, right, in the preseason couldn't catch. Huh. And now it looks like he's doing just fine. I'm thinking about Josh Reed's start to his career here with the Bills. Yeah. Drops Reed, right?
Zay Jones.
And now Zay Jones is doing pretty well in Vegas. So, yeah, I mean, sometimes it comes down to, are you going to get the opportunity to get past that? Are you going to get somebody to believe in you and keep feeding you the ball? In the case of Dawson Knox, I mean, we spent this offseason looking at tight end, talking about tight end, all the Zach Ertz rumors, and you know, maybe they pursued some in free agency, but whatever. Here he is, and he looks certainly like he's a big part of this offense. But the snap count yesterday was huge for him.
And the Bills held firm in their belief in Dawson Knox. And Tommy Sweeney, for that matter, right? I mean, or Reggie Gilliam, however you want to extend it, the Bills held firm in not having to go out and get that tight end. They even cut Jacob Hollister, right? I mean, you think about that. Here's a guy they signed as a free agent, and they wind up releasing him because as much as we all talked about Zach Ertz bringing in a tight end, what are they going to do? The Bills at every turn kept telling us that they have confidence in their tight end room and who they have, and here we are, right? I mean, it's really coming true and showing that what they were saying was right and true. Now, who knows? Maybe at some point they had conversations about Zach Ertz or another tight end, but they didn't go out and get one, and I think that just shows that how much faith they did have and how much they're being rewarded now in that faith.
Sal, how about the game itself? You know, I was asking. I did not go. I was there and then went home to take care of babies. My wife went. She said entry into the stadium was good. Like, anybody anticipating a longer wait, I mean, different people might have had a different experience, but getting in, gates, all that stuff. And Max was at his first game. So your read on how people took to the new protocols and how Max enjoyed it as well.
Well, let's start with my wife told me, I asked her the same question you just did, because obviously we enter differently. She said there was no problem at all. You know, she said, you know, they got in, they checked her card, boom, it was really, really fast. So from that standpoint, I haven't heard many people, I haven't seen many people, I haven't sought it out either, but anyone complaining necessarily. But I also will tell you, I doubt you're going to get much considering, Jeremy, it's the same thing we saw week one. Like, I made a note to say in my head, mentally, like, wow, the stands are full here during the anthem and at kickoff, right? I mean, like, it was a packed stadium already. This 11 o'clock thing works, man. Always just keep the 11 o'clock thing, because it's going really well like that.
There also might be a little bit of a conscious or a subconscious thing where in all the years of the drought and 15, 17 years, you never really had to worry about missing much. And now, guys, we might miss a touchdown. I got to get there because this team scores points. So, you know, that's a part of it maybe.
Yeah, and Max's first game, I mean, come on, 43
that's
points.
Awesome.
You got a good
win.
One.
Yeah, that is
right?
Awesome.
I mean, like, could you ask for anything more? You got a little certificate, that Billy Buffalo certificate, my first game, has the date on it. You put your name on it, you know, got a picture down. He came down by the wall, you know. And for me to do the job that I do, for my son to, you know, be growing up and seeing that, I just think, you know, it's just cool for him. I'm walking around, he's trying to wave to me on the field. That's my dad on the field. So it's just cool, right? I mean, you know, so he got a good experience. And, you know, they had a great time. I will tell you though, he did tell me that he counted five of the really bad words. I said, well, you don't have to count them, but you know they're going to happen sometimes.
Did you ask him to repeat those words to you to make sure he got them right?
I would tell you, you probably know which word I'm. Let's just think of the movie A
punt,
Christmas Story.
Here are the bad words: punt, jumbo package on fourth down,
fade pass.
These are the bad words. Yeah.
And then I'm thinking, well, they probably happened on the run of the Antonio Gibson. I'm thinking, when did they occur? Right, I mean, because
the kickoff that wasn't. Covered.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Because they didn't have much of an opportunity. But
my goodness.
Everybody was great, it was a great environment.
I heard five total, and four of them on that Antonio Gibson play.
Dad, same words I hear from you during Yankee games. I don't know what that means.
Right, exactly. Hey, not this weekend,
no,
pal.
I know,
that's right.
I know.
Not this
Real
weekend,
quick, speaking right. on this, though, one of the best moments, if you were at the game, you maybe didn't see this, but if you're home watching on TV, when Emmanuel Sanders gave a ball to that kid.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man.
I saw it live, yes.
Just what a moment. It's just like warm
the
jar
kid's
just
reaction
to watch
it. I couldn't watch it enough times.
It was
so cool.
It was something that if it doesn't bring a smile to your face, then you are not human.
Yeah. It was great.
You saw it, Sal, I assume, right? The oh, my God kid?
I saw it. Yeah, it was kind of like in front of me there. And that kid went crazy. It was awesome. It just made his day. It made his year. Man, it was amazing.
I love stuff like that. You know, you see that, you know, on Twitter, you'll see stuff like that. Baseball players doing autographs, whatever. I love stuff like that because you just made that kid's day, that kid's month, that kid's year. He'll always remember the day Emmanuel Sanders gave him a touchdown ball.
And I think after the first one, he launched the ball into the stands,
right? He did. He threw it in the stands, yes. Yep.
So maybe after that one, he's like, man, I should have just gave it to somebody. I don't know. He got another chance, so he gave it to the kid, which is really cool, yeah.
All right, 10 o'clock. Don't forget, you got the extra point show.
All right, I'll be there. We'll take calls today.
You know, I don't know, you know, wasn't sure if you had other things you wanted to get to today, but you'll be on at 10.
No, we'll do that. You know, I know you guys are going to talk about, but boy, the AFC, man, it is all right there, guys.
It's really, right there.
This is
with the Chargers.
The AFC is a jumbled mess. I tweeted out the standings last night. If anybody wants to go, I tweeted out what the actual seeds would be right now if the season ended in the AFC because all the AFC games are over. And it just looks weird, right? It looks like it's almost reversey kind of, you know? It's really weird. And the AFC is right there. So we're going to spend some time talking about that in the extra point today and how Bills fans are feeling right now. Such a difference from after that week one loss.
I think that and even the division too, Sal, like we were talking about just how bad the offenses are for the other three teams in the division. It's you know Ben Volen from the Boston Globe. He covers the Patriots.
Yep.
I can't read the article because it's paywall, you know, and I'm not paying for it to read Patriots articles. But he just tweeted out his article with instant analysis, and the very first bullet point he tweeted out is Patriots are a disjointed mess. That's on coaching.
Oh, no. You hate to see it.
Oh, yeah. Jeremy. I had to actually get tissues for Jeremy. His tears were flowing out of his eyes.
I won't rest until they find an answer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough. Yeah, and with Tampa coming in, obviously they'll remedy their problems in New England very quickly next Sunday.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to ask the biggest question. Is Bill Belichick still playing chess while everyone's playing chess?
The Patriot way. They're lulling opponents into a false sense of security. It's rope-a-dope. So they thought they'd come out, look bad the first few games, and then really start coaching and show them what they're really good at. So it's brilliant.
It's hard to play chess against people playing checkers when you lose your main piece, your queen, and you have to play the rest of the board with all your pawns.
I was just going to say, he's playing without his queen, you know?
That's exactly right.
All right,
3D chess, though, man. 3D chess for 20 years, right? Come on, give me a break.
Right. All right, Mr. C, thank you as always.
All right, guys.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back.
and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.